chapter 6. We're doing the last series on the home today. And next week I'll be bringing another subject to you. We're still in that series that we began several weeks ago, reaching greater heights for God. And next week we'll be how to reach in our giving. And that's one thing this church is. This church is a giving church. Unbelievable. And we'll be talking about that. And all righty. How many have got? Don't forget to sign that. Just put your name on it, Josh, and write adult sign. We're in a contest. It was supposed to be 6 weeks. And Brother Coolidge, I don't know how many weeks it's been. It was supposed to end at the end of, Carrie. It was supposed to end the last week of December. And we're in February. So we're closer to the end than we were when we started. Amen. And, I don't see Mel and Lonnie. Where's Mel and Lonnie? They're coming? Okay. Good. And, I got a great email, for our church website. One of the men that Mel has been like discipling up there where he works, he wrote to me in the church and said, I want to thank you so much for that church website. He said, I can't tell you every week I go listen to your messages. He said, I can't tell you what it means to my life. Isn't that exciting? And so we're thankful for that ministry that Brother Mel Laurel has up there in his workshop. He's reached about, I think he's led 4 or 5 people to Christ. And, this one man lives, really don't come to our church. He is about 60 miles away from us, you know, it's just kind of hard when you live that far away, but, We're thankful that Brother Mel's reaching out and having a ministry. Did everybody get a paper? All righty. But look at you. Today I want to talk about the discipline of the home. And then when we get to the bottom of that, you don't have it on your paper because I added it, Brother Carey. We're going to talk. I want to get down to it so we can moral purity in the home. And so my whole goal is to get this done today. All righty. Tommy, I like your new little kitty. A nice little kitty that you got her. They got a new kitty, I'm glad. It's a cute little kitty. All righty. Discipline in the home. Tommy, you've got a 2-year-old cat. You got to discipline it, man. We came by yesterday and gave Annie some flowers from the You Are Love banquet. Amen. And you're welcome. All righty. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Now, I know there's some older folks here, but there also are some younger kids, younger ones there, and it's good for everybody to hear this. Amen. And by the way, every one of us are still children. We were born from somebody. How many still have their parents? You still have your parents? Great. Great. I don't have my parents any longer. I wish I did have them. If you have parents, make sure you let them know you love them. Tell your parents you love them. Someday they won't be around and you won't be able to tell them that. Now I want you to tell them that you love them, but I want you to show them that you love them. Amen. Alrighty. Look at, verse 1 of chapter 6, Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Let me see that. It's a right thing for us to obey our parents. Now, you the younger couples that have children growing up, it's right that they obey you. You should stress to have them obey you. You should care about them obeying you. When they obey you, God blesses them. When they don't obey you, God puts a curse on them. Look what it says. Obey your parents, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I'm going to tell you, obedient kids live longer than disobedient kids. And that's a spiritual application too. Spiritual children, I believe many times live longer than disobedient children, spiritual children, because we can add or we can subtract days from our life. I believe the Bible teaches that. I know there is an appointed day, but I believe just like God added 15 years to Hezekiah, I believe he can add or take away according to our walk with him. And by the way, he can add and subtract for your children. Notice verse 1. It's the right thing for children to obey their parents. If you say something to your kids and they disobey you, don't let that go by without notice. You need to be concerned that they obey you, because when they obey you, you're forming character and integrity in their life. And also, when they get older, they're going to do more for God, and they'll be obedient to God because God's given you parents the ability to raise your children. He's just lending our kids are the Lord's. He just lends them to us. He says, all right, I'm going to lend you these kids. I want you to take good care of them. I want you to teach them like I teach you. And so it's good that they obey their parents. Look at verse 2. Not only are children to obey their parents, but they are to honor their parents. We need to, as a pastor, it thrills me when I see people honor their parents. I hate to say it, but unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of people honoring their parents in the world anymore. I noted this. You teach them by example. If you parents want your children to honor you, they need to see you honor your parents. The greatest thing Brother Kerry can teach Trish to honor him and his wife is how they honor their parents. When he honors his mama, her grandmother, she sees that. When he talks highly of her, she hears that. He really loves his mom. I know he does because he talked to me. But if he would talk dishonorable about her, then Trish would hear that, and that would, then you mark it, it comes, what goes around comes around. And they learn, our kids, you're teaching your kids all the time. Our kids reflect us many times. For instance, I grew up like in the New York Yankees. I grew up in Toledo, Ohio. I always liked to win. And the Yankees used to, when I was younger, they had Mickey Mantle and all those great players, Yogie Berra and all the great players. And they won almost every. And I was a New York Yankee fan. It's amazing. I had a son, David. Guess who David likes in baseball? He likes the New York Yankees. I wonder where he got that from. I have a grandson, Austin, David's son. You're never going to believe who he likes, Brother Jack, in baseball. He likes the New York Yankees. So you got grandpa, dad, and the kid, all Yankee fans. What? I'm doing that for an illustration. Just like it's passed down of different characteristics of my likes and dislikes, we're also passing down other traits. Honor, dishonor, tempers, no tempers. Hello? Bad language, good language. Calmness or instableness. Are you with me? We're passing a lot. Listen, our kids watch everything we do. They listen to what you say. Even though she might be playing with little dolls, Brother Kerry. I guarantee you that baby knows what you're saying. Don't think that your grandson that you bring, he's picking up everything, man. They got antennas everywhere. Where did, they'll say things, they'll say, where did they, I love little Sydney. Oh, little Sydney's such a, I know her mom, dad's here, and grandma's here, and grandpa, but she is a doll baby. And she went to one of her, a family, and said, I can't remember which one it was someone that needed to be saved, says, you need to be saved. Where did Sydney get that from? She heard it at home. She heard it at church. Are you with me? What are we putting in our kids? What do our kids see from us? How many want their kids to be blessed? I want my kids to be blessed. Then we need to be a living example. We need to be a living truth before their eyes and their ears all the time. Because I'm going to tell you, they're going to be what we teach them to be. And they're going to be what we were and are. Does that make any sense to anybody? Brother Coolidge, I was blessed talking to your daughter. She cares about the Lord in the church because you taught her that when she was younger. That's exciting. You passed that down to her. That's wonderful. Amen? All their lives, young and old, they should honor their parents. We need to honor our, even after you grow up. Now, I've taught you we got to get cut off from mom and dad as far as running our own home. But we still honor our parents. I loved Rosie's dad and mother. And there were some times that her dad might have said something that maybe I didn't agree with. Or maybe he did, but I still honored him. By the way, he was a good upright man. There weren't many things he ever did that I didn't like. The only thing he didn't do, he dropped out of church. It broke my heart because he was real faithful. He loved the Lord, and he got hurt in church and got his feelings hurt and never recouped. But he married a lady after Rosie's dad. After Rosie's mother died, he married a lady that I really wasn't enthused about him marrying. But I honored her because I honored him. I'm here starting. We need to honor our parents. Even when you get old, you need to honor your parents. And by the way, if your children see you honoring your parents, when you get old, they'll honor you too. Amen? Let's go to the next verse. Verse 3. Notice what God's word says to the children and their parents. If they obey you and honor you, they will be blessed. It may be well and live long. Look at verse 3. Verse 3. That they may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I'm amazed. Now, sometimes people get so sick that you have to put them in a somewhere they can get care 24 hours a day. But, you know, a lot of times I'll see kids, there's nothing wrong with their parents at all. And their parents took care of them. But when it takes time for us to take care of our parents, we don't want to do it. Hello? Now, sometimes there's circumstances where you can't. But if there isn't any, we need to take care of our parents when they get old. Amen? And so, for instance, I see Gary Lemley. He's back there, but I'm using his example, Gary. Grandpa Lemley's not able to do a lot of things, hardly anything anymore. Grandpa cannot walk. And Gary's over there every day. I see him when it was snowed out this last week. He was over. I went by one day, he was shoveling out the driveway for Grandpa. He was honoring his mom and dad. That's a good thing. It's a good thing for mom and dad Lemley, and it's a good thing for Gary. Amen? And because God blesses us when we honor our parents. And so let's never forget those that loved us. Let's never forget the lady that risked her life bringing us into this world. Amen? And you young people, you look up to your mom and dad, and you let them know you love them and thank God for them. Amen? And then so, you know what? I got to get off this, but I think a lot of times we grow up and we forget about our mom and dad. And then we lose our mom and dad. They die. And we bring flowers to the grave. I'm not against you bringing flowers to the grave. But I'm going to tell you something. Your mom would have really liked those flowers a whole lot more when she was alive. I'm not trying to be, I hope you don't understand my heart. Let's love them and honor them and do for them while they're alive, when they can be a recipient and blessing of it. I'm not saying not to do the other thing that I've never been one for that, but I'm not against people to do that, But I'm saying, you're going to bring flowers to the grave when they're dead. Why don't you bring her some when she's alive? On no occasion, Mom. I just was at the store. They had some good selling of some flowers. I just wanted to be a blessing to you. Amen? And more than just a rose. I'm talking about just being a blessing someday, of just coming by and doing something for them. Amen? Okay. And then, and by the way, your kids see you do that, and they remember, oh, I need to do that. Dad taught me how to take care of Grandma. Now I need to do that for him. Notice we as parents should want this for our children. We need to teach them and train them when they're very young in the principles of God. Notice verse 4. If we provoke our children, we might bring judgment on them. We are to nurture our children, which means discipline. And by the way, the word discipline comes from disciple. You're to disciple your children. You're to teach them and show them the fear of God and teach them the word of God. Amen? Look at the book of Hebrews. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And look at verse 6. For the whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Are you with me? He spanks. That word chasten means he disciplines. He spanks. And scourgeth every son whom he received. I'm in Hebrews chapter 12. Now I'm on verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as a son. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? In other words, if God spanks you, don't be mad. That proves you're a child of God. Because he don't spank the ones that aren't his children. Just like I don't spank somebody else's child. They're not my child. I only spank my own children. Are you with me? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then you're bastards, the illegitimate children, and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Here he gives us the truth now. I want to give you this. We have fathers of our flesh which, what they do? They corrected us. Because they were an instrument for God to teach us. And we gave them reference. Shall we not much rather be subjects unto the Father's spirits and live? For verily I say, a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Spanking is good for us, and it's good for the children. It forms our life to do right for God. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. No one likes to get a spanking. By the way, and no parent likes to spank their children either, if they're right with God. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, what happens? It yields peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which exercise thereby. I'm going to tell you right now, God give us an illustration in Hebrews. Hey, just like I spank you, and you for your better, you got to spank your children for their betterment of their life. Notice what I wrote down there on your paper. To have godly discipline, we are to have godly discipline for them. Number one, look at A. Discipline sometimes means spanking. Now let me define spanking for you. Never spank your child in anger. If you spank your child in anger, that is incorrect and it's wrong. I see, you better do this. This is the fifth time I'm telling you. This is the eighth time I'm telling you. I'm not telling you no more. This is the tenth time. Do I have to tell you again? And all of a sudden, I'm gonna kill you. What happens? You lost it. See, you shouldn't have counted to 10. Brother Coolidge, my dad was from the old school. My dad told me one time, my dad was an old farm boy, and my dad said, Richard, I want you to do this. And if I just sat there, my dad would get up. Did you hear me, boy? See, my dad believed in dancing. Yeah, after he told me the first time and I didn't move, he'd get up and he'd grab me and we'd promenade all the way around the house. You'd be surprised. You know, I didn't hear you, Dad. It's amazing. Sometimes he'd say, hey, Rich, and I'd be upstairs. Yeah, Dad! It tunes their ears in. You know, we hear what we want to. We got to put the wanna in our kids' hearts. Just like God's got to put the wanna in our hearts. And by the way, if we put that, when my dad was teaching me to be obedient to him, he was also teaching me, even though he wasn't a saved, my dad wasn't a saved man, but he was also in the future teaching me to being obedient to God. Hello? The reason we got a lot of rebellious kids today, because they weren't spanked when they were young, and they weren't made to mind. Never strike a child, see. Never strike a child in the face. It's wrong. God put a little seat on them and some legs. You get those little switches and those little off the branches and they put welts. Boy, that hurts. You don't have to kill your child. But you need this. Some of you have been sold a bill of goods and you took it out of Satan. Oh, there's a Dr. Spock or one of those idiots. Never spank your child. If you love your child, you'll never spank them. You believed a lie from hell if you believe that. I'm glad my dad spanked me. By the way, he didn't spank me many times. I was trying to think about my dad the other day. He didn't spank me many times. Because after he spanked me a few times, I learned to obey right away. Because I actually feared him. You know, one time I was even working at Allied Chemical, and I did something stupid. I got irritated. I was a pretty good company guy, but they did something that really irritated me. Probably shouldn't tell you this. Well, before I became a pastor, before I became a preacher, I was just a young kid out of high school, and I was pretty wild. They wanted us to put stickers on these stuff. Well, the drums had powder. Even when you put the stickers on, they fell off anyways. And yet, it was just, to me, it didn't make sense and it was just stupid. But I was rebellious. And I got irritated and I went up, I jumped up on a, and I put a sticker on a clock on every number. Shouldn't tell myself, should I? My dad was a shipping clerk. He came down, picked up those full drums and took them back to the warehouse. Only thing is, he used that clock to watch the time. He came down, I said, wow, who put those stickers on that clock? I said, I did, Dad. Of course, I'm sure he was disappointed in me because my dad was the hardest worker in that plant. He really was. They couldn't work with him. He outworked two men. They couldn't stay with him. He'd stay 16 hours a day. And even a second shift was second to 8 hours. They couldn't keep up with him. He was a working machine. They said when he died, he was the greatest worker that ever worked for Allied Chemical. That's what they wrote about him. He said, you put those up there? I said, yes, sir. I'm just trying to show him I'm irritated that they're doing the sticker thing. He said, well, people use that clock, son. I said, I don't care. I want you to go and take them stickers off. And I'd just been married a few months with Rosie. I was probably about 20 years old. And I said, he said, I mean it, son. You put those up, you take those stickers off. And I'm telling you to do it right now. And he drove away. He drove away with his mule. He didn't. But all those men that were down there heard him do that. I mean, you know, he said it sternly. He said, I want those off there. And I sat there for a moment. And I thought, I'm either going to swallow my pride and love my, because I love my, listen, I would die for my dad. My dad was my best friend. I did everything with my dad. I hunted, I fished, I worked, I bought a house. I'm going to tell you, everything, my dad was the greatest thing in the world for me. And I had to make a choice. Do I obey him or be defiant? And I said, I'm going to obey my dad. And I'm married. I'm not in his house no more. And I took him down. I took him up to him. And I remember saying it. I said, Dad, I took these down. I was wrong probably to put them up. But you shouldn't have spoke to me like that in front of all those men. But I honor you because you're my dad. And I want you to know, here's the stickers. You know, I'm glad I honored my dad. Years later, I found out he told people about that. It really moved his heart. You know, we need to honor our parents, no matter what. Amen? And you should never strike your child in the face. What was I on? How did I get onto that? What made me go there? Wow, I don't know what I... You should never try to bring physical harm to your children. Yeah. He probably would have killed me if I wouldn't have did it. Maybe. I see these people abusing their children. God never meant for us to physically harm our children. If you physically harm your child, you're wrong. You can discipline a child without breaking their bones. You can discipline without putting big bruises on them. Sometimes you're going to have little welts. That's all right. They'll live. But to physically abuse a child is wrong. And a godly discipline is the right. Sometimes you want, in even some of the cases of young girls, all you have to do sometimes is just speak, raise your voice a little bit. Not, yeah, but, and they'll, like Rosie's dad, all you have to do is look at Rosie and she'd start crying. You know, we need to have wisdom as we raise our children. Amen. But, never do any physical harm. Always make your children understand why they're being disciplined. You know, people come in and start grabbing, smack them, you dirty little rat. Why don't you? They don't even know what they did. You're spanking them sometimes for something they did 2 days ago. Hello? Whenever you discipline a child, they should know why you're disciplining them. What did I do? Pray with your children about the discipline. When Tammy and David were growing up, you can ask them. I'd actually pray with them before I spanked them. By the way, when you pray like that, it helps you not to be hit them when you're over angered. I used to sit down and say, now I've got to spank you. You've done wrong, Dave. You really did some wrong things. And I explained, I said, you know, Dad told you not to do these things. You still did them. And now I'm going to have to, for the teachers to obey me and be obedient to God, I'm going to have to spank you. I say, now, do you know why Dad's going to spank you? Because you love me, Dad. And I'd pray, I'd say, Lord, I love my son. And I just want my son to grow up to walk with you and to know you well, my daughter, whoever was getting spanked. And then I would spank him, but I'd only hit him a couple times. You know, you'd be amazed if we would discipline our children right. Your children would want to obey even better. One time my kids were, Tammy and Dave just, Rod, they were driving me nuts. They just had the too much sugar or something. I don't know what, Carrie, I couldn't get them calm. I mean, they were just going, knocking things over, running through, going nuts. And I was trying to read. And when I'm reading or writing, I don't like any noise. Don't talk to me when I'm writing. I have to concentrate what I'm doing. And I said, please, now I'm studying. You know, when Dad, you can't. They kept on going on. They kept knocking around. Rosie was gone somewhere. And probably down shopping at the store or something. And so finally, I took my book to Proverbs. I said, come here, you kids. After I spoke to him a couple times nicely, I said, we're going to see if the Bible's true. They said, what? Tammy said, Dad, we know it's true. Tammy always had the answer and always had to have the last word. I said, look at this scripture, Tammy Lynn. I'm going to prove to you and David that the Bible's true. It says foolishness is bound in the child, but a rod of correction will soon correct it. I said, I've been telling you kids to settle down, stop screaming, knocking things off. He said, now I'm going to pray with you and then I'm going to spank you and we're going to find out if this thing works. So I prayed. You know what? They didn't make a peep the rest of the day. It worked. That was the right kind of correction. See, it's not wrong to correct. You need to correct your child, but you need to correct them or her right. Note also, I put benchmarks or boundaries. You can put boundaries there for them to go by so they know, or rule. You can put benchmark rules, boundaries for them to go by so they know when they're doing wrong. You say, here's how far you can go. Then you got to stop. I had certain boundaries and rules for TV. They can only watch. And boy, I remember one day, I wasn't even home, but I came in and this one kid was with Tammy. And she said, oh no, turn it off. My dad don't allow us to watch that. They had boundaries and they knew the rules and they obeyed them. Amen. But you need to set those up so your kids understand that. And then start when your child is in diapers. Now, we hit Lukey a lot swifter than we would a baby in diapers, but, you know, a little infant. But even as an infant, you've got to start teaching them. No, no. Are you with me? And, you should start praying for that baby when that baby's in the womb of the mother. I noted here, in Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 44, remember when Mary came in, when Mary came and talked to Elizabeth, John the Baptist jumped inside. He leaped for joy, the Bible says. In Luke chapter 1, 39, when Mary came to talk to Elizabeth, it said that he leaped for joy. He was inside. John the Baptist was either 6 months or 3 months older than Jesus. But he leaped for John the Baptist when he heard about, he leaped. They can hear. What I'm trying to say, that baby inside you can hear. And you should start praying for them. Matter of fact, they actually say, if you start teaching them, you can teach them the things and they actually come out more smarter. Hello? And so, and then I put Psalms, you don't have this on your paper, do you? Yeah, write Luke 1, 39 through 44, and then Psalms 139, verse 13 through 18 says that God saw us when our substance and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to, I'm going to read that. Look at Psalms. My trouble is I don't have enough time here to really, preacher needs about 2 hours. Psalms 139. Those babies, you were a baby from conception. These people aborting these children, they're killing babies. Psalms 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in the secret and curious wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. In other words, your body wasn't completely formed yet, but God saw you. Are you with me? And how many of you have seen children in different stages in the womb? That's what he's talking about there. In thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, whereas they were yet none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If God cares that much about that baby, how much should we care about it? Amen? If I should count them, verse 18, they are more in number than the sand. Wow. We better take good care of those babies that God gives us. They're precious to Him. Amen? Now quickly turn to Proverbs. We need to learn to train our children up the way God says. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. 22:6. That's just the first bell. We still got another 5 minutes. Look at Proverbs 20. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. God said, from that, as soon as you get that baby, you need to start teaching that baby the ways of God. Put the truth in it. Coolidge, I saw the truth. You put some truth in your daughter, Coolidge. I saw that. I guarantee you she got it because she was young. And, when they're young, we need to train them and teach them the ways of God. Look at, Proverbs 23. I'm hurrying because I want you to, okay, let's look at Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14. Proverbs 23. Withhold not, let me see verse 13. There goes Dr. Spock, Rod. Withhold not correction from thy child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. If you do it godly, thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. You know why you see kids that are real rebellious? You'll see young, and man, you can't do nothing with them. It's because when that little kid was rebellious, that mom and dad didn't take a strap and slash his little butt. And what happens? He got more rebellious, more rebellious, more rebellious, and now he's uncontrollable. We say, he's a little devil. It's because you didn't smack the devil out of him when he was young. You ever hear the phrase, beat the devil out of you? Correction is good for children. And don't, notice, Proverbs 13:24. By the way, did you notice number 13? Withhold not correction. In other words, you better spank them. Well, I love them too much. If you really love them, you'd spank them. Look at Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod, all right, you that don't spank your children, this is God's word. He that spareth his rod, in other words, you don't spank him, hateth his son. Don't tell me you love your children and you don't spank them, because God says if you don't spank them, you hate them. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him bedtimes. You know what that word bedtimes means? It means when he's early in life, before it's too late. You know, that's the trouble in our churches. You don't get this kind of teaching very often. But in the old days, Mom, this is stuff we grew up with. And nowadays, preachers are afraid to offend. Because I guarantee some, I don't know who anybody in here, but I guarantee there's someone with this set of crown here. Someone's just probably saying, well, how dare him tell me that? I don't care what he says. I'm not spanking my kid. Go ahead, but you're damning that kid's soul. A lot of kids are in hell today because their mom and dad didn't spank them when they were little. Thank you, preacher. That's all right. One thing, your blood's not going to be on my hands. Preach the word, be in season, out, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I'm going to tell you, we need preachers to get back in the pulpits and tell the people, thus saith the word of God. Had a lady at Mrs. Wolf yesterday was trying to tell me some stuff. I said, ma'am, not Mrs. Wolf, somebody else was there. And I said, ma'am, I just take exactly what God's word says and I believe it. I said, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, Jesus said. They tell about Christ. I said, you better read the Bible and start believing what he says to you. Amen? We got a bunch of Christians, half-hearted Christians. Well, I believe what I believe John 3:16 because I want to get saved, but I don't want to believe this about my children. You better listen. You better start listening to what God's word. He's got the best recipe for your life. Amen. Hold on, I'm not done yet. I don't care when that bell rings or if it rang. 15:1. I'm going to get this off my chest. Amen. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And I've been at fault. I'm one of the biggest guys in fault. You don't reach people by yelling at them. Sometimes I'm preaching, I bring my voice up to get your attention. But if we yell in wrath to our children, you're just going to drive your children farther away from you. But if you speak softer, say, all right, come here, be firm, but don't yell and scream. That never helps. There's so much screaming and yelling that goes on in homes. It never helps you. It doesn't help the children. I can't see you kids. They're driving me. Yeah. You know, it's come here, kids. Let's pray. God help us. By the way, fellas, if your wife's yelling at you, speak softly. Okay, honey. Or wives, if your husbands are yelling at you, okay, honey. Now, lastly, look at the bottom of your page. Look at the bottom of your page. 2 Kings 20:15 says, "What have they seen in thy house?" I wonder if when God looks down into our homes, what does he see? I hope God's pleased with our homes. I wonder what God sees in our homes. I want to share one more scripture with you, and I'm only going to read a couple of verses now. Look at Leviticus 18, because I want to share one thing with you, and then I'm going to close. And I know the time's running out. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Look at 18. Write down moral, on your paper, write down moral purity in the home. I was going to take some time, but I ran out. Moral purity in the home. By the way, you can write down Leviticus 18. It was actually the whole chapter, but we could put 1 through 15, 1 through 16. And then also write 1 Timothy 2:9. 1 Timothy 2:9 says you need to dress with modest apparel. Now let me give you this last thought. In Leviticus 18, I just want to read a couple verses to you. I was going to read a lot of them to you. Look at verse 6, Leviticus 18. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin and uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father and nakedness of thy mother shall thou now uncover. She is thy mother and thou shalt uncover. Now I know this is talking about going into them. But also, I want you to understand, you need to be dressed in your home. I think a lot of times in your homes, Christians walk around nude almost. Your children should not see your nakedness. We have a moral problem in our society today. Behind closed doors, your bedroom, your wife, that's fine. But in front of your family, you need to be clothed. Now, I'm not saying you got to wear a full, but your nakedness should be covered. Yeah, you shouldn't be walking around in your underwear or with no clothes on. Hello? But you'd be surprised how many families walk around. I think it's wrong, Rod. But now I'll sit there in a t-shirt, but I'll have something on. And by the way, when someone, like if you would come to my house, I would run. Most times, if a lady would come to my home, I would run and get a regular shirt on. But I know there's people that walk around almost nude through their home, and their children see them. That's wrong. And the reason I'm saying this, you're not going to believe this, and I didn't believe it when he said it to me. I had been pastoring for about nine years. And one day, one of our real faithful families in Toledo, I was talking to her about their home. And they said this to me, Brother Jack and I about fell over. They said, Preacher, is it wrong for us to walk around naked with our children in our home? And this is a family went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Guy was an usher in my church. I said, what did you say? And she said, yeah, they had two daughters. One was a teenager. She said, yeah, I told him, I won't say his name. I told him that it was wrong for us to sit there watching TV all naked, like a nudist colony. And he had the daughter on his lap. And so I said, I bet you never got that one, did you, buddy? It leaves a scar. You don't realize what preachers hear when they pastor and what they have to go through. That's why it says, pray for your pastor. He needs mercy. And I said, no, that's an abomination to God. Don't you ever. And I let my daughter stay there a couple times, but I went right to my daughter. They always had clothes on, Dad, when I was there. Good thing I was going to break his jaw. He might have more than broken. He would have been put in the hospital. What's that? Oh, yeah, I would. Maybe. Yeah, I'd be praying on the way. But how depraved. Now, these are supposed to be saved people. Carl, we just need to get back to holiness. We have lost moral purity. I don't want Natalie or any of my kids to walk in front of their grandpa naked. Well, they're just little kids. I want them to have clothes on. And I don't want my kids to see me nakedness. Remember, I don't have time, but remember when Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Japheth and Shem, when they found out their daddy Noah was naked and had been done wrong, that says in Genesis 9, they took a blanket and walked backwards. They covered so they wouldn't see their father's nakedness. We need to get holiness back in the homes. Keep your body clothed. My wife, we've been married for 37 years, and she's still, I'm glad, she's still nervous to be in front of me sometimes. You say, well, no, I'm glad she has that. I'm glad she has that about her. We ought to have that conscience that we don't want to walk in front of people unclothed. Amen? Amen? All righty. Let's have a moment of prayer. Hey, that's good home. Wasn't that a good home teaching? I'll bring something next week again. We're going to leave the home, though. We're going to go on something else. I think I'm going to pick your pocket next week. Nobody's going to show up. I'm going to talk to you about giving, not giving of yourself and giving. We're going to have a good time on stewardship next week. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless us. God, bless our homes. And Lord, help us to be clean vessels. And Lord, help us to teach our children the ways of God. We ask you to bless every home here today. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we'll break for just a couple minutes. Pass in your slips. Pass in those slips.